Rick Morrissey has joined us on Sports Byline USA. You know, we talked about ownership. We talked about the fans. We talked about the players themselves. One thing we did leave out, how did the media feel about Ozzie Guillen?
I think it was mostly good. I mean, if you were a writer in Chicago and if you're a writer in Miami or wherever Ozzie goes on the road and you show up at the ballpark and you're not sure what you're going to write about that day, he'll fill up your notebook and he'll fill up your tape recorder. And so from that standpoint, it was great. I mean, he's wonderful, and you know, he'll say anything. He's honest, obviously, to a fault. But you know, there's several media people here that had no use for him, and they didn't like didn't like his language. Just got tired of his act. So maybe it's that way with some people toward him, and maybe Ozzie's got a shelf life or an expiration date. I don't know. I always enjoyed him, and that's why I did the book. I just thought he's a lot of fun and just one of those bigger-than-life personalities that we don't often see now anymore. Everything seems to be so packaged, and this guy isn't.
Yeah, it's pretty corporate. Tell me some of your favorite stories about him that are in the book, Rick.
Well, I have a story in there about Gordon Beckham and the second baseman for the White Sox. This was a couple years ago, and he's a young player, and he was really struggling. And as I mentioned before, Ozzie doesn't care about that if you're struggling. But if he saw Beckham moping in the clubhouse and saw him with his head down, slouching, and he called him into his office and just read him the riot act and, you know, dropping every F-bomb you could think of. But the message was, I don't care if you go 0 for 40. But if I see you moping and you know, walking around with your head down, I'm going to send you down to AAA, and that's where you're going to stay. And I talked to Beckham about it, and he said, you know what, it sounds harsh, he said, but I felt great walking out of there. I mean, I felt uplifted, that belief that he had in me. You know, you don't get that from a lot of people, and a lot of managers aren't like that, or coaches. I don't think people necessarily see that with him. I mean, he stood by, Adam Dunn last year when he was having one of the worst seasons ever in MLB history. So, you know, he's really loyal, and I'm not sure that always translates to the general public.
Is there an element of baseball that he doesn't have patience with?
Yeah, I think it's the stats driven stuff. He's very much a gut manager, and every game, the scouting staff, somebody from the scouting staff would come down, put a scouting report for that day's opponent on Ozzie's desk. Ozzie would pick it up and throw it immediately in the garbage, and he just felt like, I know the American League. I know all the players. I especially know my guys. So I don't care if their pitcher they have a left-handed hitter coming up who's batting 450 against lefties. I've got my lefty up there who is pitching lights out these days. I don't think any. And so that's it. I'm sticking with who I have.
You mentioned about him being familiar, at least saying he knows the American League. What about over in the National League, where the strategies, the double switches, the pitcher is hitting? How do you think he might do there?
I think he's going to do pretty good. Reinsdorf thinks he's the smartest baseball guy he knows. I mean, and he's had Tony La Russa and Jim Leland, and I think Ozzie's really looking forward to being in the National League and being more of a strategist than you can in the American League. But, you know, it remains to be seen. It's new, and he's going to have to pay attention to those scouting reports. I think he understands that. He doesn't know the National League that well. So he's going to have to change a little bit and do a little more managing. And I think he's really excited about that.
You know, managers like him sometimes rub umpires the wrong way because, I mean, he's going to be vociferous with everybody. And there's the great story about the late Fred Hutchinson when he was the manager of the Cincinnati Reds. And he had always a unique way of working the umpires. And I guess he was unhappy one time with a call. And he went out to the umpire, and he started arguing with him, and he started to walk away. And then he turned around, and he says, oh, by the way, I stopped by the dog pound, and your mother's fine. that got him thrown right out of the game. How about him and the umpires?
Yeah, he's a character with that, too, because he's had a couple of run-ins with Joe West, and you know, he thinks he likes Joe West. I mean, he likes him, I think, because he's sort of like Ozzy in that he likes the spotlight. So, you know, and he got mad at Joe West for kind of showing him up. So he came running out there with his lineup card, and he threw it at Joe West's feet, and he said, hey, here's the lineup card. You fill it out. He said, because you obviously know it more than anybody. You want to be the show. Here, I'm walking out. And, of course, Joe West runs him, you know, throws him out. And it's just funny stuff, you know, funny old-time baseball stuff. And I love that stuff. I think it's great. And I think he appreciates it, too.
You know as well as I do that in Chicago there was another personality, Dennis Rodman. And, of course, the latter stages of his career, it was always, you know, always kind of wondered what he was going to do that was going to get him run out of town. Does Ozzy fall into that same category? Is he a ticking time bomb?
Well, I would have said no until this latest incident, because this one, you know, he could have gotten fired for this, and so you kind of walk away scratching your head about it. How did this happen? You know, why would he go there? How could he be so disconnected from things? I think Dennis Rodman was a little more, you know, imbalanced than Ozzy is. I mean, Ozzy's, you know, he knows what's going on, and he's not doing it like Rodman did it. But I guess, you know, Ozzy's, like I said, I think he's got a shelf life, but I think even if it ends poorly in Miami, I think he'd find another job.
Let me take you back to 2005, which was the World Series winning year for the Chicago White Sox. Tell me about his managerial style and what he did that year that led to a World Series championship.
Well, you know, he one of the things that he does really well is he takes young players under his wing. So, you know, I think there's a lot, at least a number of managers who are pretty hands-off with players these days. And Ozzy's always in the clubhouse. And he likes to take two or three young guys, rookies, first-year players, and try to tell them how you're supposed to play the game, how you're supposed to carry yourself as a major league player. One of those guys was John Garland. And Garland was really frustrated because going into the 2004 season, Jerry Manuel had been the previous manager, and he would never let Garland go more than six innings in a game. And it frustrated Garland because he was like, how am I ever supposed to become, you know, a good pitcher or know that I can handle the late innings if you'll never let me do it? So that was one of the first things Ozzy did. He gave him the ball, his first, whatever the first start was, I think of the previous season, and I think he went eight innings. And so he was very good in 2005, Garland, I mean, and I think a lot of it he points to it as just the confidence he got from Ozzy showing so much belief in him.
You know, he handled that club very well, and, of course, they walked right through the playoffs and the World Series to win the title. But I've often wondered how he will deal with pressure because, as you know, the Marlins spent an awful lot of money. They have a new stadium down there, and he's going to be under a lot of scrutiny and even more so now. So yep. I'm just wondering what type of pressure guy he is.
Well, I think that's a great question, Ron, because in Chicago, he was with – he was with the you know, quote unquote smaller market team. He wasn't the spotlight isn't on the Sox the way it is with the Cubs. And you know, you can say that Miami, you know, no one has cared about Miami, and you'd be right to say it. But now everybody's watching, and they were watching before this, but now they're really watching. And I think, yeah, people are going to be looking for cracks. I mean, there's no doubt about it, and they're going to be looking for him to screw up. But, you know, having said all that, I don't think he's going to change. I mean, I think he'll be on his best behavior for a while after this, but, you know, telling Ozzie Guillen to keep his opinions to himself is that's just not going to happen.
We only have a minute left. What would you like people to take away from this book, Rick?
You know, that just this guy is just unique. You know, this last week aside, you know, he's just a big personality with a lot to say, a lot of interesting opinions about a lot of different topics. I think he's a good manager. I think he gets himself in trouble, but that's part of him, and that's part of the fun of Ozzie. You know, it's like Billy Martin. I mean, there's just you have to turn and listen to what Ozzie says. That's all there is to it. And the book comes out next month. It's available now on Amazon.com for pre-order. So I hope you check it out because he's an interesting guy.
Well, Rick, congratulations on the book. I always enjoy reading your columns in the Chicago Sun-Times as well, and thank you for spending some time with us here on Sports Byline. Take care, Rick.
Thanks a lot, Ron.
The name of this book, check it out, Ozzie's School of Management, Lessons from the Dugout, the Clubhouse, and also the Doghouse. We continue with more of you and America's Sports Talk Show.